Wednesday, July 29th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Proverbs chapter 3, looking at verses 5 through 8, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, Trusting God.
I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, what is the life you want? The life of trusting God is the truly happy life, blessed life. Life of trusting God is the best place to be.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
It's what you love from Psalm 73. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That acknowledgement there in Psalm 73 is one of deep reliance upon him. Acknowledgement of that in life. Constant acknowledgement of that kind of counsel and guidance that leads us to glory. A recognition of him that he's the one in control, that the Lord is the one with power to keep, that the Lord is the one orchestrating the events of life. And notice this call is to live in constant acknowledgement of this. I think, you know, we are a people who we're sheep, we're given to anxiety, we are given to fret, we are given to worry. And I think at the basic root of that is that we have lost sight of this basic truth that is here leveled before us. This is precisely why Jesus gave so much attention to this in the Gospels. And I always think how marvelous that our Lord, the King, would say these kinds of things to us. Do not worry. Do not worry about your life. And he gives the things that, at least in the first century, they would be deeply concerned about. How would they clothe themselves? How would they feed themselves? Look at the birds of the air. I feed them. Are you of not much more value than they? So stop worrying. Your Father knows what you need. But acknowledge him. Acknowledge him and his kingdom and his righteousness, and I will take care of all those burdens. That acknowledgement is what he is after, one of prayerful and constant recognition. There is a king over your life, and you are his subjects whom he loves. You are his people whom he has redeemed by the blood of Christ, and he constantly promises over and over to provide and care. Sometimes the best way to understand what trust is to appreciate what it's not. And that leads us to this practice of trust tonight. You'll notice this. Notice what he says. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. The greatest threat to what I just described is something we do all the time. Sometimes even unconsciously. And it's why we become full of worry and fret. The greatest threat to what he's calling us to here, what do I mean by that? The greatest threat to the life of trust is to turn from his counsel and to seek counsel from within. To seek counsel from within in your own wisdom. One of the beautiful psalms, Psalm 133, a short psalm. Listen to how simple this is about life. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child My soul is within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. At that hope is that root there is to trust God. And people give their lives to things that are way too great for them. What Solomon is describing is something that truly calms and quiets the soul. Now, here's the reality, the hard reality of life. People don't hear this today. Dr. Clark said it on the AGR podcast the other day, so I'm going to quote it. Life is really hard, and then you die. That's the Calvinist take on life. Okay? Life is really hard, and then you die. That's perspective. The pathway of life is full of sorrow. It's full of sickness. It's full of temptation. It's full of worldly allurements. It's full of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we're constantly plagued with these things. At any moment, we are subject to some calamity and difficulty, and then death comes. And you know life can be going very well, and just something like this takes you away from any desire or remembrance of what it's like to trust God. We forget what it's all about. Remember a few weeks ago, we considered Elijah when Jezebel came at him, and the one thing he did was forgot trust and ran the other way as far as he could into the mountains. When these things happen, here's the reality. We have no idea what's best for us. Isn't that the experience when they come, these things come? We find ourselves with little prayer. We do not trust. We turn inward. We try to solve everything in panic. We expend all of our efforts to change the situation. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know what's best. What was the very first thing Satan tempted Eve with in the garden? Do you remember? God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. How'd she take that? So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. There was the departure. There's the problem of humanity. We have sought our own wisdom to guide our lives apart from the will of God. Think of what we confess in Providence. What advantage is Lord's Day 10:28? What advantage is it to know? Think about this, to know that God has created and by his providence still does uphold all things. What advantage is that to you? Ponder the question. What advantage is it to know that? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and in all things which may hereafter befall us, we may place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love. Since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot move or be moved or such as move. That's how much he guides us. So notice then in the practice of trust, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. You don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. But notice what he says. Fear the Lord. And what does that look like? Turn away from evil. If you look back up at 3:1, Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, But let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. In general, what that is saying is God has given to us a word. God has given to us a revelation. And in his word are fixed commandments that guide the whole of our lives and our conduct. I don't know if you saw this. I just saw this today, that in Newport Beach, of all places, Newport Beach, rich Newport Beach last night, it was a total chaotic mayhem. People running around looting and assaulting police officers. That's Lady Folly telling. That is the choice of folly, of wasting and destroying one's life. And what did it bring them? What did it accomplish? They chose evil, is what they chose. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What you will find in life is how easy it is when you are discouraged and stressed and depressed to go and sin. That's just the reality. The alcohol, spending, the drugs, the porn, the drifting, just name it. The life of trusting God, what a call it is. What a relief it is. Again, I'm not talking about justification here. I'm talking about the whole of life. There is a fixed rule of conduct that does not change. That's good. That's right for you. That's healthy in life. This is wisdom literature. Your law, O Lord, Psalm 119, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. At the heart of fearing God and trusting God is departing from sin and turning to his word and keeping what he has said. That's what the proverb is saying. You may have sin in your life, we all do. But when it comes to the hardship that sin brings, the call here is when you acknowledge him and you live believing that he knows best for you and that he is the source of your wisdom and power to guide you and that he encourages us in the righteous pursuit that he's called us to, such a practice of trust by looking to him in this life, the Lord wants to encourage you tonight. His law is that lamp. There's great reward. There's great reward. The text is loaded with reward. This is, again, just wisdom literature. You can see this from experience. Notice what he says. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. He's speaking here of what? Prosperity. Hear me now. Pastor Gordon is a prosperity preacher. You're laughing. Not in what you think. Not in what the doctrine has become. Prosperity doctrine today is if you just have faith, you'll never get sick, you'll get really rich, those kind of things. Not what I'm saying. I'm talking about what the scriptures talk about as the prosperity of the righteous. The prosperity of the righteous. What do I mean by that? You know it. You know it. Psalm 25, his soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. This is the truth of the matter. No matter how much we are tried and afflicted, no matter how much life is difficult, we are a happy people. We are a happy people in the Lord. Look at the people who most trust God in life, who place their faith. Look at the people who give their lives to worship God and enjoy him forever as they were created to do. I'm not talking about perfect. They have a happy condition in this life, in their afflictions, in their hardships. I've seen this here, the kind of happiness that fills the people of the Lord who trust him. He indeed gives us health. He indeed gives us refreshment in the soul. He indeed gives us a peace the wicked do not know and do not have. You have no idea, and I have no idea, and completely take it for granted what it is to live knowing the steadfast love of the Lord and the promises in Christ. What is it worth to us knowing that God has made us and has given us eternal life and given us the gift of his Son, and that his love endures and rests upon us forever, and that he has his favor resting upon us always, and that he is guiding our lives and afterward will receive us to glory after death, and that he's forgiven our sins and the promise of the glory to come? What's that worth? That's a peace you live with. That's a peace you enjoy. We enjoy this so much, we don't even know how hard it is for those who don't have it. Now, some will think I'm crazy saying that. The wicked prosper. No, they don't. No, they don't. The truth of the matter is that rejecting the Lord brings all kinds of miseries in life. That's the truth of the matter. It brings misery in this life and especially in the next. The wicked live a hard life. Those who turn from the Lord live a hard life. Living by your own understanding is a brutal path to follow. Even Job, in all of his afflictions, learned something. Satan still couldn't prevail over him. Job in his affliction still was a prosperous man. And God takes pleasure, as Job said, in him that fears him and abstains from evil. His eyes behold the children of men to test them. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And what does he do for them? His ears are open to their cries. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Notice the wisdom here. Turn from evil. Trust the Lord. What you see here and what the sage is recognizing as the great truth, Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, those who trust the Lord, he's always directing their paths. He's always guiding them and keeping them in his counsel. He will, as a promise, make their paths straight. He will guide us and keep us. He is wonderful in making your paths straight. It's a promise to you. That's a promise here, loaded with blessing of the Lord. I'm not saying we always feel it. I'm not saying that at times we don't feel the paths are crooked, or maybe we're discouraged, or maybe we're trying to live life on our own. I know we all try it. The call here today is trust God with your whole heart and life. Acknowledge him. Lean upon him. Rest in his commands and his word. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, Psalm 84. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. A life of trusting God is the best life to live. He will direct you. He will keep you. Psalm 20, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. This is everywhere. I could do this all night. Whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for you. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will trust you. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He's become my salvation. Psalm 56:3. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, what is the life you want? The life of trusting God is the truly happy life, blessed life. Life of trusting God is the best place to be. And to not turn inward for your own counsel, the life of turning away from God is a hard life. It's a sad life. It's an unfulfilled life. And then you see all that he's done for you in Christ. When he sent his son, and he loved you so much that he took upon himself your sins. When you had rejected his fear and sought evil, that all that was laid on his back for you. And then he raises his arms and says, come to me. When you're anxious and burdened, I'll bear it. I'll care for you. Lo, I'm with you always. I will not break one promise that I made. How good he is to us. What a blessing to hear this tonight. Trust me, says God. Trust me. Rest in my word. I have the good path for you. He will not fail to do anything that he has promised, that he has said in his word that he will do. After he has guided you through this life in his counsel, he will receive you to glory. That kind of love, that kind of grace, that kind of mercy demands a heart that trusts him. And what a joy to do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to this. And thank you for showing us the right way. We see the path of the wicked. It's hard, sad, a choice of sin and death that will follow. And yet with us, O Lord, even though life is hard and then we die, we have the promises. We have the care of the Lord. We have your fatherly love and benediction. We have your son. And so tonight we look in true faith, receiving the righteousness of Christ, being justified by faith. Help us now, we pray, in the whole of life, more and more to trust you. Give us your spirit that we might trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.